think, inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch or the scent of a sound or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hoard and they use them.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard line at area code 775-727-1295. The first time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call Art at 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art Bell by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
It is, and we kind of specialize in having people at the top of their game on this program. Dr. Ronald Clouds is clearly in that category. So we're going to go to the phones. If you have a question for Dr. Klatz about any of these new biological areas of research, these wild things, nanotechnology, cloning. Oh, we have to touch on cloning. The Marburg virus, the dangerous things that are going on right now, the general state of the world, which is, I guess, what we've been talking about a little bit. We're about to dive into the phones. That means your turn. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk more about, well, you remember at the beginning of the program, I talked to you about the Princeton eggs, the fact they're going berserk right now, something you ought to pay close attention to, incidentally, very close attention. Tomorrow night, we're going to sort of delve into that field a little more, prayer, human consciousness, that sort of thing. It's absolutely fascinating, the work going on at Princeton. And it'll be in that area that we travel tomorrow night on this program. In the meantime, Dr. Klatz and all of you coming up directly.
Ever wonder who...
You know, I have a computer next to me. Handily displaying the message that are sent, messages sent in by all of you with a service called Fast Blast on the website. You can type a question in and send it to me, and I get, well, thousands during the program. But to give you some idea of what, there's a lot of good people in the world, and this is really going to the core of what Dr. Klatz and myself have been talking about for a couple of hours right now. There are a lot of good people in the world, but there is another element out there. Now, I've got this cute little picture of a kitten that fell asleep on top of a ball of yarn on my webcam. And so somebody calling himself Craig from Flagstaff, Arizona, writes to me, "Hey, Jew boy, someone needs to slip and light an M80 under that cat's head on the webcam." Now, the conspiracy fruitcakes out there have thought that they're just certain that I'm Jewish. There's web pages devoted to it out there. I'm not, by the way, I'm Lutheran. But, you know, that fits in their category of vicious hate thinking, you know, and that's the kind of vicious hate thinking that's going on out there. "Hey, Jew boy, someone needs to slip and light an M80 under that cassette on the webcam. Thanks, Craig." Yeah, that's cool. See, those are the kind of people, Dr. Klatz, that we're in a race with, you know?
Well, I wish it was that simple, Art. Those people don't bother me so much. I mean, I shouldn't say they don't bother me. They don't scare me. as much as the people who I think we are in a race with, and that's people who have a completely separate agenda for which way the world is going.
Yeah, doctor, but these people hate.
Oh, I know, I know. I'm just telling you. I don't like them. I don't condone them any more than you do.
I'm just telling you that there's an atmosphere of hatred out there that's so deep and so, dare I use the word, evil.
Yeah, and it's unnecessary. That's the whole thing.
I know.
That's the whole thing. The world doesn't need to be. There's no need for hate anymore. There's plenty enough to go around for everyone. We live in amazing abundance.
But this is the most perplexing aspect of the whole thing. As we race toward these wonderful possibilities that you describe so enthusiastically, we're also in the race with these idiots who want everything destroyed. They really do. I'm believing they want everything destroyed. Anyway, it was just an example of the kind of evil-minded, horrid, hate stuff out there. Anyway, listen,
before we end tonight, we really should talk about the Codex and the risk to personal health freedoms, because
what is the Codex?
That's very important.
What is the Codex?
The Codex Alimentarium is the European code for food safety, and it's kind of like the code for the equivalent of the European FDA.
Okay.
And the Codex is important because it establishes what are safe levels of various foods or nutrients. And the Codex that is being pushed forward in the European Parliament, the new Codex, is essentially trying to relabel all foods that have a therapeutic effect as drugs. Now,
what?
Yes.
Meaning you'd have to go to the doctor to get a prescription for apples?
Well, if you wanted the active ingredient in apples, yes, indeed. If you wanted to buy high-potency vitamin C, you would need a prescription for it. You do now, by the way, in several European countries because of the existing Codex rules. And this is being pushed forward by the pharmaceutical industry.
Brother.
And by the total control power people who want to essentially control everyone's health destiny.
Mm.
And it flies in the face of Deche, which has given us tremendous freedoms with regard to nutritional and personal health issues in the United States. And the FDA has come along and stated publicly that they intend to harmonize their rules in accordance with Codex. So if Codex passes for all of Europe, it would essentially ban any high-dose nutrient. 5,000 nutrients that are available in health food stores all over the United States would be considered illegal in Europe if Codex passes.
Doctor, we already hear of SWAT teams batting down the doors of health food stores around the country. You see these weird stories of this stuff going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the doors are getting bashed in for what?
Good question. Well, the latest, you know, there's all these little scares. You know, ephedra was dangerous, even though ephedra was used in medicine and by the public for the last 2,000 years, suddenly ephedra was this demonized drug that had to be banned by the FDA.
Yeah, I saw that.
And interestingly, in Florida, just this last week, a judge overruled the FDA's opinion and is now made calling their opinions overbroad. But there is a concerted effort on the parts of some individuals who want to control all of your healthcare destiny to deny you freedom of choice in nutrients or even in foods. And your listeners need to pay attention to this because it will affect us here in the United States if it passes in Europe. Now, luckily, we have a slight reprieve because there was a suit brought against this in the European High Court. And quite surprisingly, the Chief Justice of the European High Court said that the Codex rulings were arbitrary and overbroad and overreaching, and he recommended that they not be passed, but that doesn't mean that they won't be passed.
And if they are, then an apple a day is going to require a doctor.
Almost certainly.
Good Lord. All right.
And this information, by the way, about the Codex and Duché and the healthcare freedoms is available at, of course, www.worldhealth.net.
Well, I'll bet they're humming right over to that website. I hope you've got the I hope you've got the bandwidth to contend with it, because we've got a lot of notches on our We've Killed a Website log. Anyway, listen, we promised calls, so here they come. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Hi.
Hi, Dr. Klatz and Art.
Hi.
Good to talk to you.
And you.
I have one of your books, The Anti-Aging Revolution. It's pretty good.
No, thank you.
I have a comment and a question. My comment is, I think, pretty much the same people that are behind eliminating the biochemists are probably the same people that have the vanishing virus. I think they're going to give us another world disease, and this is just a way of blaming some poor guy in a lab so that maybe they can give us a new outbreak and make money for the pharmaceuticals. That's my opinion. Just like AIDS. I think AIDS was manufactured by man.
Pretty cynical.
Well, you have to talk to the right people that know the inside story. What I wanted to ask you was, last week Art was talking about a lady was on the phone saying how meat can cause Alzheimer's, can cause cancer, and what do you think about eating beef?
Well, there are, of course, some people who believe, Dr. Klatz, that Alzheimer's is really BSD, you know, mad cow.
Well, there is an awful lot to be concerned about with mad cow disease, Pyron disease. And the Pyron particles look suspiciously like the neurotangles that can occur, that do occur and are pathognomonic of the lesions for Alzheimer's disease. And that connection has not been disproven as of yet. And so there are people who are concerned about that, and there are people who are concerned that the United States is not really testing its cattle for Pyron disease. And the only beef that I would eat today would be beef from Japan, because 100% of their cattle is tested for Pyron disease.
You don't eat beef?
Not anymore, and boy, I love my McDonald's burgers.
Oh, man, me too.
I used to love those steaks, and I've given them up because I can't take the risk.
Ma'am, there you are.
Thank you, Art. And I think the guy that left you that note is just a very unevolved, probably a teenager that's...
Yeah, but, you know, it just indicates, I guess, what mindsets are out there, and some of them are very evil and very hateful. And when these people are in positions of, why do you think these? Do you think, first of all, doctor, that an abnormal number of microbiologists and scientists have been murdered, or is it just somebody keeping, you know,
good records?
Well, I can't figure it out.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, at first I started thinking, well, you know, there's a lot of, you know, scientists out there. This isn't, you know, 50 deaths in the last 3-4 years isn't so unusual. But when you look at how these people died, many of them being murders, suspicious suicides, one guy being chopped up into little pieces and stuffed into three different suitcases, you kind of go, hey, what is happening here? And a suspicious amount of them are involved in microbiology and associated with government-sponsored research.
Well, you must have colleagues who are in those in the fields of microbiology.
Yes.
Right? Are they, let me ask you this, honestly, have you talked with them privately, and are they privately concerned about these stories?
Most of them are unaware, but the ones who are aware have raised their eyebrows and have said, now, I don't have a tremendous amount of contacts who are involved in the types of microbiology that would be sensitive. Most of my contacts are in clinical medicine.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't deal in those dark realms where secrecy is a big issue.
Uh-huh.
But even the guys I talk to in clinical medicine raise their eyebrows once I make them aware of this and they see the numbers, because these numbers are, you know, alarming. especially the types of deaths that you see, because these are relatively young people.
You're the first,
their 40s and 50s.
You're the first doctor that I've heard say this in public.
Well, maybe I'm just foolish. I should keep my mouth shut.
No.
You have a way of squeezing it out of me, Art.
Well, you really are the first doctor who's said this out loud. So I appreciate it.
And again, I'm not saying that there absolutely is something to it, but it deserves an explanation. Let's put it that way.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Hi, Dr. Klatz. I'm also from Chicago. My question to you is, has there been any research done that you know of as far as the Marburg virus having been possibly lab-created?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question. I think there are, let me ask this, doctor, are there ways of looking at a virus and saying, ho-ho, that's man's hand is obviously involved here, or can it be ruled out?
There are ways to sequence tissues or sequence genetics in an organism and see how closely or not so closely those sequences occur in nature. And if there's a real aberration, does this fit? There are ways of doing that, but again, it's outside of my area of expertise. I'm not involved in those types of forensics.
But wait a minute, you're saying there is a way?
There are ways to get indications, but there's not, I don't think there is an absolute 100% way to say, yes, this occurred by the hand of man or this occurred by nature. There are things that make you suspicious if you see sequences that don't occur within nature.
All right, let's take the AIDS virus, for example. There are so many suspicious things about that. It was discussed at a congressional or a Senate hearing. That's well known that such a virus could be constructed prior to its emergence, I might add.
Another thing that makes you go, hmm.
Well, yeah, hmm. So the answer is there are indications that you could come up with, but no absolute smoking gun proof, huh?
Not that I'm aware of, but again, it's beyond my level of sophistication and expertise. I have a passing knowledge of these things, but not a detailed understanding of forensics. You know, the person who would be great to talk to is Dr. Duesenberg.
I have interviewed Dr. Duesenberg, as a matter of fact, and I might reach out and look for him again. Caller, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And I have one final statement real quickly.
Sure.
I don't know if the doctor is aware that the vast warfare arsenal that the Soviet Union has had in the past is still in Russia, and these are viruses that have been combined together where there is no cure for them. If they are ever used on the United States, we are in deep trouble because there is no cure, and they keep modifying themselves. So I want people to keep in mind that Russia has never disposed of their biological arsenal.
But of course, there's one aspect here. If there's no cure, truly no cure, then you'd have to think many times before you release something that would be suicidal.
That's so true. Very true.
If Russia has it,
then I guess that means we have it too, huh?
I hear that we have been disposing of ours. I don't know how true that is, but that's the latest information that I have.
But then there would be a doomsday virus gap, so...
Well, this is true, but let's hope that it's never used. And one final statement. I have to wonder if we are not our own worst enemy, Doctor, and I would agree with everything you have said. I'm very suspicious.
Well, that makes I think, three of us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you, caller, and take care. One more, perhaps. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Hello.
Yes, my name is Steven, calling from North Miami Beach, Florida.
All right.
And the question I have, based on everything that you've talked about tonight, it's a really good question. The question I should ask first, really, is has anyone asked the FBI if they've looked into this distribution of that virus in the thousands of labs around the world? Because that's a crime.
Good question.
Potentially it is, I suppose, or it could be an accident. Yeah, that's where we're asking that question. Has anybody... We don't know. They're not telling us, sir.
Has there been anything in the news about it?
No, I'm looking all over the place in the news for some answers to this. I don't think
the news is very sparse on this topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the next question associated with that, with these people on vacation, and no one's asked the FBI, and no government statement has come out about this. In your opinion, based on everything that's been happening since 9/11, including what you've talked about tonight, does it look to you... including the deaths of 50 microbiologists in the last 4 years, does it look to you like this present administration really cares about what happens to people around the world, even in this country?
All right. Hold that answer, doctor, until after the break. It's a "is George Bush doing it" question, I guess, right? So we are going to take a break. If you have a question for Dr. Klatz, we are at your disposal at those numbers.
Talk with Art Bell. Call the Wildcard Line at area code 775-727-1295. The first-time caller line is area code 775-727-1222. To talk with Art Bell from east of the Rockies, call toll-free at 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, call 800-618-8255. International callers may reach Art by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From coast to coast and worldwide on the Internet, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
This music is so appropriate, isn't it, for the material we're covering? On the one hand, the world stands at the juncture of a wonderful, wonderful advance in so many areas of medicine that might keep us alive forever. And at that exact moment, as we're at that precipice, we also face the extinction of mankind. It's incredible, both at once. Once again, Dr. Ronald Klatz, and he's absolutely earned the opportunity to plug the heck out of his website. If you want to read more, that's what his website is for. Doctor, hit it again.
Sure. I'd recommend that people sign up for our free biotech newsletter. It's on the homepage right at the top, free newsletter, at www.worldhealth.net. If you sign up for the newsletter, we'll send you in the next newsletter from my book, Infection Protection, a free chapter on how to improve your immunity and how to protect yourself from some of the pathogens that are floating around in our environment.
Your newsletter is free, Doctor?
Yes, it is.
How do you do that?
Well, we're a nonprofit organization, the American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine. We're 14,500 physicians from 78 countries around the world, and our mission is really to improve the quality and the quantity of the human lifespan. And so it's our mission, and so we provide all this for free.
Okay. If I may ask, Doctor, you certainly in the prior appearances on this program have been an extremely optimistic man, and I know that at heart you still are. How many, although I must say recently you seem very concerned, and I wonder how many of your colleagues privately share your concerns?
Oh, it's way too many.
Really?
Yeah. It's scary, Art. It's like the Matrix. Only, you know, I should have not opted for the red pill. it's really, really strange. When you start looking at what's going on out there, so much of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, when your doctor's worried, folks, you ought to be worried. Usually doctors are quiet guys with great bedside manners, and they're telling you that all is going to be well and you're getting better. That's the usual line, right?
Yeah, and I don't want to cause people to be unduly concerned, but people need to be aware because something has to change, and it's going to take all of us. I mean all of us, because the leadership to make this thing happen, it's not going to happen from, you know, the guys who are in power. This has got to be a global event. People have to wake up and start taking charge of their own health care, their own health destiny. And, you know, our place on the planet, we have to be looking at a pro-life, pro-longevity, you know, stance.
All right, well, that takes us back to what the caller asked prior to the break, and that basically boiled down to a did George Bush do it question.
Oh, thank you, Art. I really appreciate that.
Well, he did ask.
He did ask, so let me answer it this way. I can only hope and pray that those men who are in control of our very lives are men of goodwill and humane conscience and are acting in the best interest of us all. May God protect us.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Ronald Klatz. Good morning.
Yes. I want to ask, what kind of psychological profile is done on some of these biologists to make sure when they're going to do research that they're not harboring either some jihadist-type feelings or racial-type hatred?
My God, is that a good question? Yeah, I got it. I've got it, sir. Thank you. It's a superb question. When we send up space astronauts into space, rather, we give them a battery of psychological tests to determine they're not going to, likely will not go berserk once they get up on the International Space Station or whatever. So people working with these little horrors that we've been talking about, Dr. Klatz, are they required to pass any sort of psychological certification?
That's an interesting question.
Oh, it sure is.
I know to get into medical school, they put you through all kinds of psychological aptitude testing, but I don't believe there's any of that involved in PhD programs in microbiology, so I would have to say there is none to my knowledge.
Oh, gee. Okay. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz, top of the morning.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. As far as natural thinning out, right now we've overpopulated the earth enough that we don't have enough minerals in the ground to actually grow the crops to give people what they need to keep them healthy. The world is, as far as pollution and everything else, we're getting to the point where there's hard stretch to actually keep people healthy on its own.
Are you suggesting that the thinning out, or the culling, if you will, of the world's population might not be such a bad idea? Is that where you're going?
In the long run, for the actual longevity of mankind before something, I mean, if you look at all other animals, any animal that overpopulated as much as we have would have been extinct a long time ago.
Uh-huh. All righty. There you have it, straight out, Dr. Klatz. Perhaps the world's population needs to be culled.
Well, it's a pretty hard thought, isn't it? That's really not it. You know, that's just so antithetical of, you know, those of us who have training in medicine and in the sciences. We're here to preserve life and to extend life, not to limit life. And it really doesn't have to be, because the planet will reach a maximum. The projections are the planet will reach a maximum of about 8 billion people, and then it will start to reverse if the technologies that are in play, anti-aging technologies, biotechnologies that will lead to improved health care, are extended globally. So the concern of the overpopulation issue with regard to anti-aging or even biotechnologies really, I don't think will come to be.
Yeah, but you just talked to a guy who thinks, and he sounded reasonably intelligent, obviously believes very strongly that a culling of the population is in order. So that kind of thinking, it may not be public a lot, but it's out there, obviously. Yeah.
Well, there are those who have suggested that the planet should have a few billion less people on it than it does today. I'm not a proponent of that, and I would hate to think that there are forces at work trying to consciously achieve that goal.
Well, I would think at the very least that people who would have that goal might not become, or perhaps shouldn't become, microbiologists in this modern day and age, or at least there ought to be a psychological test, as the caller mentioned, for people into that field.
Not a bad suggestion, Art.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Ronald Klatz. Good morning.
Good morning. I was curious about banned vitamins, in particular a vitamin I heard of in a book I read was D13, orotic acid. I was wondering if you heard of that one, and if there's a listing of various vitamins or nutrient supplements that are banned or under threat of being banned on his website.
All right. Doctor?
No, there's not on the website, but if you look up Codex on the Internet, they will. You can read about the levels that they are suggesting.
All right, that would be CODEX.
Right. There's a tremendous amount of information out there because it's being pushed very, very heavily by the European pharmaceutical companies. And the suggestion is that almost everything that's in the GNC or health food store down the block would be converted into a drug status.
Doctor, is this all for financial motive, in your opinion? In other words, you make things available only through prescription, and then you get a lot more doctor visits. Is that the motive behind this, or is there more?
I think it's an issue of global control. I think it's an issue of finance and global control. Alternative health care, and I don't really like the term alternative health care, but you know, people using nutritional therapies and managing themselves, their own health care, is in the opinion of a certain factions in the pharmaceutical industry is not a good thing, and for every dollar that's spent on nutritional therapies, it could be construed as costing the pharmaceutical industry $10 to $20. In those countries where Codex is the law of the land, Germany and the Netherlands, a bottle of zinc supplements that would cost $4 here is now selling for $56.
All right. I get the idea. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I really appreciate your discussion and would like your expert opinions on what I'm reading about nanobacteria.
Okay, I can hear you, but you're going to have to get a little louder. What about nanobacteria?
Well, I'm reading that two separate reports in the Journal of Proteome Research say that nanobacteria in rain clouds could be contributing to diseases around the world, and that nanobacteria have now been identified in humans on 4 continents.
Wow.
And I was wondering if you guys had seen that.
Guy hasn't. How about you, Doctor?
I have. Nanobacteria is still controversial. They're very small, vanishingly small bacteria that really shouldn't, you know, that don't really fit into the category of bacteria because they're so small. but they sequester calcium. And it's believed that they're the cause of kidney stones and maybe the cause of calcium depositing in coronary arteries, that these bacteria, you know, they're ubiquitous, and they are calcium fixing and may be the underlying cause of some of these degenerative diseases of aging. And they're concerned about nanobacteria. Interestingly enough, NASA did a study on the growth of nanobacteria because in a weightless environment, they explode in their growth cycle.
But, Doctor, she just said nanobacteriological presence has been detected in humans on four continents. Good God.
Well, it's throughout people. The article she's referring to is they've apparently found nanobacteria in clouds. And that it's actually, it's actually raining down on
people. In clouds now, how would nano...
But this is a natural bug. Just because it's called nanobacteria,
okay.
It's not something that somebody cooked up in their laboratory.
All right.
This has been in the environment for forever.
I see.
We've just discovered it in the last, 15 years or so.
And we're sure that what we've discovered is only natural?
Oh, yes. We believe it's natural. It almost certainly is because people have been having kidney stones and atherosclerosis for
forever. Yeah, right. Okay, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much. And one of
it's
the things
still controversial, though. I don't want to say that it's absolutely for real. There are still some microbiologists who are not convinced that nanobacteria are in fact a separate class of bug and that they do everything that I've talked about. But that's the way the literature is leaning right now.
And thank you so much about mentioning Codex also. I wouldn't be able to talk tonight if I couldn't use quercetin for my sinuses.
Well, it's something that it will affect everyone's life.
Gee.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
And have a good night. Hello there, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I'm calling from Columbus, Ohio, and my question is to the doctor. What can I do to protect my family and my children, specifically under the age of 3, from a chemical or biological attack?
Oh, boy.
That's a good question, actually.
It's a great question, but it would take someone who's more expert in NBC, nuclear biological
chemical,
than I am. The best thing you can do is keep your, that I can give you, my advice that I would give a patient is keep your immune system high. Do whatever you can to boost your immunity, and there are ways of doing that.
But having said that, and I certainly agree with you, a strong immune system is probably the best defense. He's talking about an attack, something as horrible, for example, as Marburg. Might as well face it, it could happen.
Yeah, well...
Sounds like you've got or somebody's got... Oh, I see. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Yeah. This is not my area of expertise, and if there is an attack like this, we're all in trouble because these biological agents are extremely lethal, and all you can do is try and get away from the area that has been released.
Yeah, I did ask earlier, and he said he'd put on a barrier, on his face, breathing, and get the hell out of town.
All right, so a tent or something like that wouldn't be a really good idea for a child. I should just pack your family up, get in the old station wagon, and hit the highway?
Well, it depends. You may not be able to get out. And if you can't get out, then building, rooms within rooms within rooms to try and limit exposure to, protect the, air and that sort of thing is it would be helpful. With Marburg specifically, all you'd have to do is make sure that no one came in contact with you, either by droplet or aerosol or by touch. And so I'd lock the door and I would stay inside and try and weather it until it burnt itself out because these...
Have you prepared yourself to do that?
No, I have not. I don't see Marburg as an issue for us in the United States as an infectious disease risk with what's happening in Africa. But of course, if it was to become weaponized and used against the public, that's a completely different issue.
Uh-huh.
In which case, God save us all.
Right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Klatz. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Doctor. Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Hi. Just a couple quick comments and a question. Number one, I really do believe there is a cure for cancer, but the pharmaceutical industry is holding it back.
He just agreed with you, man.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
Hold on a second. If there's a cure for cancer, let's hear it.
Well, I mean, there's things that work right now. I mean, there are, you know, we talked about the stem cells and with leukemia. There's experimental things that are working right now. There are people who get cured of cancer every day. 90% of all stage one cancers are, in fact, curable. Stage one cancer is when you caught it about the size of a pea or smaller. You can cut that out or burn it out or freeze it out and eliminate it, and it'll never, you know, it'll never develop into anything else. You know, but do people, how many people go through the kind of cancer screening that would allow them to find cancer at stage one?
Almost none.
Almost none. But if you don't die of cancer, you can add an extra 3, 4, maybe 6 years to your average lifespan. So there are things that we can do now, but I think the caller is talking about, you know, a more generalized, universal cure, which I'm not quite sure is available yet, but and if it is, I'd like to know about it.
Ma'am?
Yeah, and also the other comment was I was watching local news today, and they had mentioned something about finding some sort of cancer-causing agents in toothpaste. And I'm wondering what your opinion is on that. And also, I'll get my question done and hang up. Do you foresee in the future, along with stem cell research, some sort of booster shot you could take in adulthood, basically, like for a body cleansing? And that's my comment. And
okay.
I'll hang up. Thanks.
All right. You bet. Doctor?
Okay. Which one are?
Oh, I don't know. Whichever one you like. A general body cleansing, for example?
Well, I don't know that one shot is going to do that. I mean, your body cleansing needs to be done over a period of time, and you need to be doing it constantly because we're constantly exposed to toxins in our environment. Water, tap water alone, is according to the EPA, is responsible for 30,000 deaths a year from kidney and urinary tract cancer. Okay, so, I mean, just the fluoride and the chlorides and the bromines that occur and the chemicals that occur within the water supply. The lady talked about toothpaste. It's been known for some time that some of the chemical agents that are used as preservatives and are used as different types of aesthetic agents in cosmetics might be mildly carcinogenic. And so the argument has been in natural health food circles is to use only natural products.
Doctor, we're out of time. That's it, buddy. We're done. We're way out of time. Thank you for being here.
Okay, Art.
You will be back.
World Health Net?
I say it again.
WorldHealth.net.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Okay, live long and well, Art.
Good night.
Good night.
See you all tomorrow night. We'll talk about consciousness and prayer and stuff. From the high desert, in the darkness, good night.
Midnight in the desert, shooting stars across the sky. This magical journey will take us on a ride. You with the longing, searching for the truth. Will we make it to tomorrow? Will the sun...